Welcome back once again to No Longer Conformed, my online teaching and preaching ministry, as we continue our study of the book of Acts, Luke's History of the Church, Volume 2. We'll today in this session consider verses 42 to 47 of Acts chapter 2 in this session that I've titled The Practices of the Church. A focus on the future events, or should I say, a focus on the future prevents a church from becoming a home for dusty relics of the past. The pattern of the early church keeps a fellowship fresh and alive. Of course, attempts at change are often misunderstood when they occur in the church. Let's read those verses 42 to 47 and let's consider this. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as any one had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So what we're going to consider today from this passage is four distinctives of the early church. Four distinctives of the early church that keep a fellowship fresh and alive. And it's so important that we have these distinctives, in order that no matter that it's been 2,000 years, a fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ can be and should be and is called to be fresh and alive. So let's look at these four distinctives of the early church and see how they come forward for us. First, the new converts were incorporated into the body. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now look at again, verse 41 from our last session. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Notice the practices of new believers. And nothing has changed. This is the way it should be today, just as it was then. The practices of new believers, there was devotion to the teaching of the apostles. God gave the apostles so that they would teach. He gives the leaders today, the pastors, and teachers, to teach the new believers. So they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles. There was devotion to the fellowship activities. The Greek word that's translated there as fellowship is koinonia, which speaks of an intimacy in the Holy Spirit. This word fellowship is not the same as it would be anywhere else outside of the church, because it's a fellowship that's based in, empowered by, and functions with the Holy Spirit. That's what koinonia. So there's a devotion to the fellowship activities. Whatever they did together, there was this spiritual fellowship. That's why when, as Christians, you go to another place, another church, another group of believers, the moment you step into that place, You can feel the fellowship. You can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit because, spiritually speaking, it's the same blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, that's flowing through the lives of everyone. That same fellowship of the Spirit is with everyone. So when you go and become a part of that and associate with that, you automatically just join into that fellowship. It says there was devotion to the breaking of bread. They were regularly sharing in the Lord's Supper, remembering what Jesus Christ did with the bread, giving his body up to be punished in our place, being our substitute. And then in the drinking of the cup, the fruit of the vine, remembering what Jesus did in the shedding of his blood, paying for our debt of sin. They regularly were sharing in the Lord's Supper. And then a devotion to the prayer times. We'll see that next time that they were actually devoted to and took part in the prayer times that happened at the temple. The new converts, and this is important for us to understand today, new converts must be quickly brought into the body of believers in order to develop good spiritual disciplines for spiritual growth, for ministry. The new converts were incorporated into the body. Second, there was spiritual power in the body. Look at verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Go to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, now, Peter, it's a passage right after the one we're looking at. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his legs and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This was the result of being filled with the Spirit. What is being filled with the Spirit? Well, it is being controlled by the Spirit. It's commanded. We're actually commanded to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that be filled with the Spirit is a command. Being filled with the Spirit, it can be repeated. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and then chapter 4, verse 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And when they had, and then verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And it produced a Christ-likeness. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, having the Spirit dwelling within them, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There are prerequisites for the filling, though. There are prerequisites. It's a dedicated life. A dedicated life, a life that's committed to Christ. It's an undefeated life, meaning that it's a life that is where sin is dealt with, where sin doesn't reign, where sin patterns don't control a life, where sin is confessed and is sought forgiveness of. So it's a life that's undefeated. It's a life that's dedicated. Also, it's a dependent life. So it's a life that's committed to Christ. It's a life that's undefeated because sin is dealt with and forgiven, but it's also a dependent life where we're connected and depending on the power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, to live that life. So an initial dedication must occur. We must, every one of us, go this same way and make an initial dedication of our lives to the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You will gain an understanding of God's will when you are in the process of transforming your mind by His Word, renewing your mind with the Word, so that you're beginning to think according to the truth, according to Scripture, and you gain the mind of Christ, and you begin to think like God thinks and see things from His perspective, then you'll understand what His will is. So there's an initial dedication that must occur, but there's a continual dedication that must follow. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So we have to continue. We have to continue in that. We need to be led by the Spirit. There's a daily victory that must manifest in the believer's life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So you need to follow the Lord, follow His guidance, and you need to make sure that you aren't conducting yourself in a way that grieves the Holy Spirit. There has to be a dependence on the Lord. That needs to be demonstrated in each believer's life. And that the power of that spiritual community, it was evident in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, where it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done through the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. So there was a dependence on the Lord that everybody could see, to the point that there were people who saw this power in action and they just weren't sure. They were afraid and they didn't want to be a part of it. And then the third thing about this reality in the church is that there was a community in the body. Look at verses 44 and 45. It says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. There's two things here that are noteworthy to mention. One is that they were an intimate community, because they were together. And the second thing is that they were concerned for community needs, that they had all things in common. Now, it doesn't mean that they became a commune and they took on communism and gave all of their stuff into one big pot. No, they were together, and because they were together, they were aware of the needs. And so, as there was a need, somebody would give and meet that need. So in that sense, all things were in common, because all things belong to God. So if I have something and someone has a need, then I'm ready to meet that need. Look at verses 32 in chapter 4. Go over to chapter 4 and look at verses 32 to 37. It says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." So while they still possessed the things that they had as stewards of God, they had the mentality that, as stewards, that it wasn't theirs. It belonged to God. They were just taking care of it for him. And so they were ready to use it as was necessary. And verse 33, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles," which is translated "son of encouragement," a Levite of the country of Cyprus, "having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And so there was a community in the body. And then the fourth thing is there was unity in the body. Look at verses 46 and 47. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." It says, one accord and gladness and simplicity of heart. God blesses the faith of a community of believers. Lack of unity reveals a spiritual immaturity. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul speaks of this. God blesses the faith of a community of believers, but a lack of unity in the body, it reveals that there's spiritual immaturity in the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" We need to be sure that we are committed, surrendered, following the Spirit, growing spiritually, and not acting carnally as if we were just unsaved men. We need to be demonstrating spiritual growth in the body of believers. And then God will bless the body in great and special ways. See you next time. Have a great day.